Blog Talk Radio. Are you barefooters out there looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book. The views and opinions expressed during the BIL radio show are those of the host and not that of Freedomizer Radio or the broadcast affiliates.
Welcome to Barefoot is Legal Radio, where you will learn the benefits and your rights to live a barefoot lifestyle. And now, here to empower you and dispel the myth of going barefoot, is a full-time barefooter of over 15 years and veteran legal advocate, your host, Nick Pierce.
Well, hello, and welcome to another edition of the Barefoot is Legal radio show. I'm your host, Nick Pierce. For those of you that may not know, I am a full-time barefooter of over 15-plus years. I got rid of the last pair of anything that goes on my feet over 12 years ago. I'm the head of MP Media Group, where I did a radio show called The Business of Arts, Music, and Entertainment for a few years, where I empowered up-and-coming artists in the entertainment business to advance their careers. I'm also a victims legal advocate standing up for the human rights that we as the barefoot community have, and the new head of the BIL Legal Services Department. Now, many of you have different reasons for going barefoot. For some of you, it may be for religious reasons, some of you for cultural reasons, others for health or medical reasons. Even though our reasons are different, there are people out there that think that there are laws, policies, rules, regulations, or dangers about being barefoot in public. Whatever your reasons, call in, share your stories, experiences, reasons, and issues. If you want to be a part of the show today, the call-in number is 319-527-6208. Again, that's 319-527-6208. Press 1 to be on the air. We also have our live chat room open. You can join us by going to freedomizerradio.com and click on the chat link. Check out our website, barefootislegal.org. And our Facebook page and Facebook group. Just go to Barefoot is Legal, and you can interact with other members of the barefoot community during and after the broadcast. If you live a barefoot lifestyle or are interested in living a barefoot lifestyle, join our private group on Facebook if you have not joined already. Again, on Facebook, Barefoot is Legal. But now keep in mind, this is not a fetish community. So for all you heavy-breathing fun seekers out there, this is not a place to get your rocks off on foot pictures. No, no, no. We are here to educate and empower you and dispel the myths and spread the message that barefoot is legal. And with that said, now it's time to kick off your shoes if you are wearing them or still have any at all, and enjoy the next hour and a half of time that we have together. In the past weeks, I know we've been talking a lot about businesses and all the new employees that are going to be starting employment this summer, for the first time getting out in the workforce and their feeble minds being reprogrammed to what businesses can and cannot do to customers and how they should treat customers and whatnot. But the big question is, can a business have a policy that does not let you be barefoot in their establishment? See, we the BIO community have rights, and we have the law on our side if we use it and use it right. The law already sets precedents from a business owner winning in court if they discriminate against someone who is barefoot. See, in the past, there have been cases that set precedents for businesses losing in court if they require patrons to wear shoes. Now, in most cases, it's because they require someone to do something that they normally do not do. So if they get hurt wearing shoes because the business required them to, the business is liable, and they have been sued, and businesses have lost in those lawsuits. Many businesses have lost in court for that. See, the law will protect us and fine the business for refusal of service. The law will protect us against discrimination and prejudice. The law will protect us from the hate these nerf-ball-brained employees project to us, the barefooter. See, we are the ones who are barefoot for religious reasons. We are the ones who are barefoot for cultural reasons. The one who is barefoot for health reasons, for medical reasons, and the one who is barefoot for personal choice and safety. And no business owner can claim that we'd be safer if they require us to wear shoes or that it's cleaner. But the answer to the big question of can a business have a policy against bare feet in their establishment? The answer is no, not at all. And let's look at why. The answer is it's against the law. Yes, you heard that right. See, the whole time you may have been told that being barefoot was against the law. Nope, them telling you that you cannot be barefoot is against the law, and here's why. There are a few laws that work in your favor as barefooters, first in which is the ADA. See, these are laws from the U.S. Department of Justice that state no individual shall be discriminated against on the basis of disability. They cannot be denied the full and equal enjoyment of goods, services, facilities, privileges, advantages, accommodations of any place that's open to the public, whether they're a private entity or a public entity. And that's a place of public accommodation. See, the other set of that regulate discrimination is against those that are is the civil rights laws. And every state has their own. Some of them are called civil rights laws. Some of them are called human rights laws. But every state has a series of laws that protect the customer. It outlawed discrimination based on race, color, religion, sex, national origin, and in most states, sexual orientation. So the discrimination based on religion, for those of us that are barefoot for religious reasons, the civil rights law protects that. See, no public or private entity shall coerce, intimidate, threaten, or interfere with any individual in the exercise of enjoyment of or accommodation thereof, or what, as we mentioned before. Very lengthy, very wordy. I'm just paraphrasing it for you. Because that's discrimination. All businesses, the law states, must make reasonable accommodations in policies, practices, and procedures. So if a business out there has a policy, they need to adjust and adapt their policy so that it doesn't discriminate. Their practices need to be adjusted if they discriminate. Their procedures need to be adjusted. And a barefooter is not asking much. Not at all. I mean, we're not asking them to build special walkways and elevators, lifts, and neon lights, and you know, all these other things. We just want to enjoy the same services. And we need to start exercising our rights. And we need to start making the law work for us. Now, what happens if a business does discriminate? Well, up until 1999, it was only like a minimum fine of $50,000 for first violation. And it didn't exceed $55,000 for the first violation that occurred after that. The fine is now minimum $75,000 for first violation occurring on or after April 28th, 2014 now. So that's a big hit to a business. If they decide, I don't want your $20 or I don't want your $100, they end up paying out in lawsuits. Now, who takes action against the business? I mean, what do you do? This portion of the law is not very complicated. It's something that everybody out there that's discriminated against can do. I mean, the first thing you should do is, I mean, if this is a disability claim of discrimination, go to the ADA's website. If this is a claim against your religious belief or something like that, then go to the Civil Rights Organization. Contact your state's, actually, the easiest way to get through to all this, nail them all in one shot, is the U.S. Attorney General. So contact the Attorney General for your state, too. Because they may commence civil action, and they can do it in any appropriate U.S. District Court. You can also take civil action against them on your own behalf. So here we are. You walk into a business, an employee tries to tell you that you could sue them if you get hurt. All of a sudden, they are telling you they are careless. I mean, when it comes to customer safety, the store is dangerous. Now, if you've listened to the show in the past, you may have heard me say that it's almost like that scene from the library, in the library scene in Ghostbusters, where the books are flying off the shelves and there's slime all over the place. I mean, they paint this horrific picture to scare you. I mean, they fear that this is what's going to happen, that the store is so unsafe, the restaurant is so unsafe. I mean, you just have to ask yourself at that point, how does a little strap on a flip-flop going to protect you? I mean, from those poltergeist flying jars off the shelves that land on your feet all the time, of course, you know. I mean, when you're in the store, this always happens. How is that going to protect you? Now, think about it. You don't wear shoes, and you enjoy your freedom to go barefoot in public. Would you really sue a business? I mean, really, because you're a barefoot? No, you wouldn't. You would not do that. But employees and business owners like to think that they know it all, and they try to tell you what you would do as if they're psychic, or that they know you so well. I mean, what are these minimum wage mystics in their cloudy crystal ball brains really know? I mean, all of a sudden they become experts on the law. I mean, liability case law makes it, you know, a successful lawsuit extremely unlikely against a business if someone is barefoot in the establishment and they get hurt. I mean, first of all, the barefooter is the one that did that. So therefore, the business isn't liable to begin with. But in order to really successfully sue a business owner for any injury, four elements: a duty of care to the customer, a breach of that duty or negligence, a causal link between the breach and the harm, and the actual harm or damage. I mean, regarding duty of care in general, a business owner is not the insurer of a customer's safety. But some of you may have been involved in a confrontation, and no matter what you say, these dimwit, overzealous employees think that they know it all. And they'll bombard you with fake laws, fake regulations, based on these fairy tales that they heard growing up. Well, what can we as barefooters do? Because no matter what you tell them sometimes, they just don't believe you because they think they know it all. Well, here's a few tools. If you go barefoot in public, carry a copy of the Civil Rights Card for your state. On the website, go to barefootislegal.org. You can download them. I sat there for a week revising and making them and checking the laws and everything on it. Pull up the card for your state. You can load it on your smartphone. You can print out a copy. I mean, there's go to Staples or office, you know, go to an office store that has a print center. You can print out little business card sizes of them. Carry a few with you. Another thing that we have is the health department letters. Yeah, all 50 states. None of them have any regulations or policies or rules or anything about bare feet. You've listened to my show before, I'm sure. You've heard me say it over and over again. It's just a myth from the 60s and 70s. Department has no regulations. In fact, sometimes you got to love it when a business owner says, oh, it's a health department law. The health department does not pass laws. But these people think that they are laws. They're not laws. They're regulations over a business for their employees, for certain standards of preparing food, handling food, serving food, holding food, storing food, washing food, preparing food, washing dishes. They don't care what a customer wears. Now, another thing you should carry with you, maybe you have a medical reason or a health reason. We do have little public accommodation cards with the public accommodation law on it from the U.S. Department of Justice. Two versions, black and white and color, look beautiful. Put that in your phone, too. Make a little copy of that one. See, having you have this information ready. You have it. The law right in front of you. If they want to dispute that, you can just say, well, here's a copy of the law right here. What law are you referring to? They don't really know. They're reciting fairy tales. Ask them if they believe in unicorns. I mean, sometimes you just got to ask them, what are you talking about? Look at them. Just like, as if they sound funny. And you say, what are you talking about? Do you even know what it says? They say health department regulations. And you're in a food service establishment? That's scary. They are saying that they know nothing about the health department code. And that's crazy. Because if they're going to sit there and make up regulations or policies that a health department has, then clearly they're not aware of what the health department really says. And these are the people that are handling your food, flipping your burgers, dishing out fries, serving you drinks, making your steak, whatever it is. That's scary. If they're ignorant of what the health department really says, why are they handling your food? If they're ignorant as to what public accommodation is, why are they even in this business? Another thing, hey, now in the days of phones, smartphones, and all that, you can record and document these incidents. And when we're confronted, a simple why. Ask them why. Because there's no need to start pulling out all your papers and blah, 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 blah. I mean, why give them more reasons or whatever? I mean, there's no need to argue points that they may not even thought of, that they never even brought up. Find out what the objection is and overcome it with the proof that you have on you. And nowadays, the smartphones, anything they come up with, I mean, anything could be Googled. I mean, you could just sit there, pull out your phone and just, okay, well, yeah, here it is. Okay, sure. Here. Look it right up. You look it up. Ask for their name. Ask them if they're a manager. But always stay calm. Explain, justify, and debunk. One thing you never really say, folks, and this is a rookie mistake, never say, well, you don't have a sign. That leads to the Sharpie marker and paper bags being taped all over the place just so they have a sign. Then they think, oh, my God, I have the keys to the celery. I'm a manager. I have a name tag. I can make a sign. And my word is gold. Let him make a sign, take a picture of it, and sue him. But this is what these pre-programmed ignorant baboons portray when a barefoot patron steps into a business. I mean, discrimination, prejudice, oppression, yes. They are passed down just like the other teachings that have also since been passed out. For example, you know, a lot of times you'll learn stuff in school. Later on, more scientific proof comes out that really it's not true. I mean, things are not always what people believe. I mean, how many of you out there listening were taught that the Israelis built the pyramids? There were slaves, Israeli slaves. That never happened. There were no Jews back at the time when the pyramids were built. There may have been Israelis, but they really didn't exist at the time of the pyramids they were built. See, in fact, they were built by their own people. And the people that often built the pyramids were also rewarded in having tombs in honor of their service that they did building them. No slave at that time would ever have such a high honor. History, folks. Not everything we were told is true. Pluto was the ninth planet in our solar system. That's false now. I mean, I get it. Some scientists are still debating it. Many credit Columbus with discovering America. And, you know, also debunk the fact that the Earth was flat. But a Viking did that when Leif Erikson actually discovered it first in 1000 AD. See, not everything we are told is true. Or how about this? How about some medical stuff? You ever heard of like different parts of the tongue detect different tastes? Like, you know, part of the tongue detects sour, part of it detects bitters, part of it detects sweet. That's not true. See, the entire surface of the tongue actually detects different tastes is not at all accurate. There's different proteins on the tongue that detect the taste of something sour, but the whole tongue overall is capable of tasting all the different attributes of a food that you eat. How about this one, Abraham Lincoln? Yeah, I mean, hey, the great emancipator. You know, many people are taught, oh, well, Abraham Lincoln did not like slavery. Well, yeah, even though he's the great emancipator, his belief that all slaves should be free actually only applied to slaves living in the Confederate States. In fact, he actually wrote in, I think it was 1862, that if he could save the Union without freeing the slaves, he would do it. See, not everything we're taught, not everything we're told is actually true. Edison invented the light bulb. Edison actually bought the patent for the incandescent light bulb from a widow of a fellow inventor. But before Edison had his lucky breakthrough, I mean, this was there were 22 other inventors that also created the same thing. He just bought the patent. Of course, he was a great inventor. I'm not trying to debunk, you know, the great stories of our history. 13 colonies, not true. The original American flag had 13 stripes that represented the 13 original colonies. Same thing with the stars. Unfortunately for us, it was actually only 12. There were only 12 starting colonies since Delaware was never a separate colony. Delaware remained part of Pennsylvania until the Revolutionary War. Before that, it switched between Pennsylvania, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Maryland, Pennsylvania, Maryland. It was Delaware. There were not 13 original colonies. Thanksgiving, yeah, you have a very romanticized version of that. Oh, how about blood is blue until oxygen hits it? That's why it looks like your veins are blue? No, just a trick. Not true. Light's reflected through a layer of our skin. Sun reflects back to our eyes and gives blood a bluish look. However, blood is definitely red in our veins, with or without oxygen. See, there are many things that we are told that really aren't true, scientifically, historically, and everything. Diamonds are made from coal. That's not true. Of course, something so beautiful as a diamond would come from a lump of coal. Diamonds are formed in vertical shafts full of rocks formed by volcanoes. But that doesn't make sense anyway. Coal is not found on the surface of the Earth, while diamonds are found in the Earth's mantle and eventually carried up by volcano eruptions, blah, blah, blah. I mean, we can go through the whole scientific end of it. This is not a science program. I'm Nick Pierce, the legal radio guy. I'm not Bill Nye, the science guy. I mean, so many things. There are so many examples out there. Things that we are taught, both scientifically, historically, you name it, that really turn out not to be true. Witches were never burned at the stake in Salem. A lot of business owners want to burn barefooters at the stake when they walk into a business barefooted, but no. Salem witch trials in like the 1690, 1693, and all that. Yeah, of course, it was a morbid time, but none of the accused witches were ever burned at a stake. They were hung. They were hung at the gallows. I mean, folks, we can't believe everything we're taught. We can't believe everything we hear. We cannot believe the myths and the signs that have existed in the past. And I'm sure you were also told that if you make funny faces, your face will get stuck that way. Well, that's another silly one. I always love that one. I make a lot of funny faces. Honestly, maybe my face is stuck somewhere. Well, I hope you stay stuck to that dial. Stay stuck to those speakers, your phone, whatever you're tuned into. Because we have a lot coming up. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hey, FreedomS, join me, Proof Negative. Weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together, right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Are you barefooters out there looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
In an ever-changing world of political mayhem, raging storms, natural disasters, and growing global discontent, you want to get the real facts on how to prepare for as many situations as possible. Hi, I'm Rich Fleetwood, founder and executive director of SurvivalRing.org, one of the largest and oldest survival and preparedness websites in the world. At SurvivalRing.org, you'll find thousands of free downloads on every prepper topic known to man and many most haven't thought of. From first aid to storm and fallout shelter plans to alternative technology for when civilization seems to want to fade away, you'll find over 25,000 unique titles available for connecting the dots and preparing for anything. We have survival history, preparedness science, community safety, authentic field training and real-world experience, and more facts than you can shake a lit road flare at, especially for those dark and stormy nights. Come and see what we have, ask questions, and let me find solutions to your current worries. SurvivalRing.org, where our motto is study yesterday, prepare today, live tomorrow. Survival is a lifestyle, but you have to live it to make it. We can help you and your family exclusively at SurvivalRing.org, online since 1997.
Got a spare tire around that waist? Is your muffin top over the top? Do you binge eat uncontrollably? We are the government and we are here to help you. Here at our free FEMA weight loss camp, we have numerous ways to help you shed those unsightly, unwanted pounds. FEMA, or Fatties, Eating Mitigated, automatically has a communist-style weight loss czar that specializes in centralized weight loss planning and communal extended fasting programs to shed that fat away in no time. Skin and boned means extra tone is the motto. Just remember, there is no way you can do it on your own. We will forcefully assist you into compliance. Failure is not an option in this utopian wonderland. How fantastic. Typical workout regimes include digging ditches and restocking them with dirt, building railways and more. Get life skills while you get lean. How do you join? Simple. Recite the Constitution in a public commons or violate the Patriot Act that includes simple misdemeanors. It's really that easy to get your own fenced-in slice of Americana. Stop being a fatty. The state is your daddy.
The views and opinions expressed during the BIL radio show are those of the host and not that of Freedomizer Radio or the broadcast affiliates.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I do.
Well, welcome back, and sorry we had to sell some ads there because no one has dropped off a big suitcase full of cash yet. So, but back with you. If you want to be a part of the show, 319-527-6208. Again, that's 319-527-6208. If you want to be on the air, just press 1. Thank you, everybody, for listening and all the callers that are holding. We have quite a few callers to get to today, so pretty glad about that. And throughout the break, I'll be screening them and making sure to keep all the haters off the air. So just part of the job, folks, but it comes with the territory. Before the break, we're talking about all kinds of silly little myths that we're taught, all the fairy tales that we're brought up listening to when it comes to the whole anti-shoe thing or the anti-barefoot thing. And, you know, we just got to be the BAL community. We're not going to sit here and take it. And that's the bottom line. So 319-527-6208 is a way to be a part of the show. And you're going to throw this one out here. I know it went over pretty well last week, and a lot of people have been asking about it. So here's a quick ad from one of our new sponsors, another BIL thing here. Stay tuned.
My toes itch. My back is in pain.
My feet smell.
Well, I suffer from knee and hip pain.
If you suffer from any of those symptoms, Shoeless is a natural foot remedy to treat most symptoms of pain, infection, and other ailments caused by shoes. Shoeless can be applied simply by removing whatever is on your feet. Shoeless is a non-prescription solution to most foot problems that are caused by wearing shoes. In most cases, when using Shoeless, it does not impair your ability to operate a vehicle, walk, run, shop, jump, play, move, dance, sing, flip, or other human activities. Those using Shoeless have reported feeling happy, less pain, better mood, and have a better sense of health and freedom. Other benefits also include eliminating athlete's foot, foot odor, fungus, and other forms of bacteria known to have been caused by shoes. Some users of Shoeless may be told that it's against the law. Ask your doctor for a note when using Shoeless. Other side effects include a higher sense of awareness and in your surroundings. Do not use Shoeless if you are standing in a pit of fire. Using Shoeless may not increase your chances of flying or winning the lottery. However, some users have reported having higher self-esteem and positive attitudes, as well as more confidence. Shoeless is best when used all the time. Use caution when using Shoeless until your body adapts. Shoeless has also been proven to increase learning, attention, help fight depression, and ease effects of autism. Feel free to ask your doctor how Shoeless can benefit you. For more information about Shoeless and its benefits, visit barefootislegal.org.
Well, hey, anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed that one. Another spoof ad of ours that we love running on the show now ever since it ran last week. I've had about 300 or 400 messages. I lost count after a while. Wondering about that, drew a little attention to the website. People are looking for that product. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine, Frank Offers. He's the pitchman for the anti-shoe. If you haven't seen the YouTube commercial that he shot, it's called the anti-shoe. And we were talking one day, and we decided to go into the pharmaceutical business for Shoeless. And so glad to have him as part of the show. Anyway, so, you know, moving on here, we have a lot to cover. And we don't want to leave anybody out. Coming on the air now with me, Kevin, longtime listener, great friend of the show. And he's here with us on a Saturday afternoon, coming up after the top of the hour. So, Kevin, how you doing? What's going on in your neck of the woods? Welcome to the program.
Hey, what's up? What's going on? Everything's cool so far.
That's good. So what kind of adventures do you have for us this week?
Well, at the start of the month, I issued a barefoot challenge for the month of May. I call it the Live Barefoot Challenge, which means wherever you go, doesn't matter if it's the park or wherever you go live on the Facebook group. You know, it don't have to be a 20-minute, an hour, just like at least 60 seconds. You know, just going live on your barefoot adventures, and that's it. The Live Barefoot Challenge.
That sounds cool. So is it doing like, are you doing this like encouraging people to do it with like Facebook Live, or just shoot a video, post it to the group or the page?
If Facebook Live on the group.
Cool.
If they look in their tablet or phone, whatever, you know, and there's a live button on the group when you're getting ready to post. Look for that. I think it's a little, whatever that, whatever you call that symbol.
Camera?
But they don't want to talk about
live symbol. I think I've seen it. Yeah. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. I'm trying to find my phone now. I'm just trying to see what that little thing is, but I'm sure our listeners are probably more technologically advanced and I'm sure they'll find it, especially members of our group. If they found the group, they probably know how to use Facebook and how to find the live button. That's a great idea. Definitely. So everybody participate, check that out. Kevin, that's a great idea. You know, just encouraging people to go out there, especially now that the weather's changing, and just kind of give them that something more than just walking. You know, create an event.
Yeah,
out of
you know,
it.
And I just did one this morning, coming from the Navy Exchange. You know, and people have seen my videos before wherever I was at. You know exactly what I'm talking about. So
yeah, you're notorious for that. Yeah.
Yeah, so it should be easy for a person who does it every single day. It shouldn't be no problem at all. I mean, you're not doing interviews with the customers or the employees. Just a little something, something.
It's a little video blog live of you just going about your business, but enjoying the lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's only got to be just 1 minute. I mean, not a whole hour, just 1 minute.
Yeah.
Or however many minutes you want it to be.
Yeah, but we're not looking for a full documentary.
No. Just something short and sweet.
Yep, that's a good idea.
So anyway, I was looking up. Make this real quick. I was looking up as I was listening to you talk. I decided to Google again. Is it legal, or did I put illegal? One or two. Is it legal to be barefoot in stores? So I was scrolling down. I saw this website, shakelaw.com. I'm not sure if anybody really heard of it because I really don't be on it that much. So I'm scrolling down.
Sound familiar, but I mean, I'm sure there's tons of stuff out there online as far as the, you know, all that. So
Yes, it is. So I'm not going to read the whole article, just read a couple paragraphs. When it's illegal to refuse service. Two federal laws govern a refusal of service is illegal. Title II of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 prohibits discrimination in places of accommodation based on a person's race, color, religion, or national origin. And the American with Disabilities Act prevents discrimination on the basis of physical, mental, or emotional impairments. Additionally, some but not all states' laws extend their anti-discrimination policies to protect customers from refusal of service based on other criteria, including age, gender, sexual orientation, and military status. How about that? Military status. Sweet.
There you go.
Therefore, despite the fact that some places of accommodation, albeit legally, post signs stating their right to refuse a service to anyone or establishing a certain code of conduct or dress, these public venues are not absolved from abiding by federal and state laws that deem certain refusals of service unlawfully discriminatory. Bottom line, just codes are not illegal, but discriminatory ones are, sign or no sign.
True. California actually has a very strict code. When you mention dress codes or, you know, anything like that, the Unrest Civil Rights Act, and that'll also define, I think it was passed in, it was enacted in 1959 or 1960, somewhere around there, California's, you know, legislation that specifically outlaws discrimination based on a lot of things, even as far as marital status and all that, ancestry. And they have included, just in California alone in that Civil Rights Act, they have included disability and medical conditions, mental status, and all that that you were mentioning. And that's a very popular law in California. In fact, it's even been challenged with ladies' nights, how it discriminates against someone's sex to get the price that a lady could pay for a drink. So there's also been lawsuits where that act in California, that piece of legislation has been used in cases like that. It's funny because the law is there to protect us. We just need to know how to use it. And we need to empower members to stand up for their rights. And you know, use the law that's there to protect them. And just what you're mentioning, even as far as dress code, as far as having a policy that would require like a tie or, you know, something like that. Well, someone doesn't have a tie, they can still come in and enjoy the same services. And that Civil Rights Act, that piece of legislation in California even protects that. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Kind of interesting.
I was going to read another paragraph, but my doggone computer is acting up and I can't get to the, I was trying to read the part where it's, the other paragraph where it says, when are you permitted to refuse service? God, dog, my computer is acting up. I'm about to get back to that in a few minutes.
Well, there are instances where, you know, a business can refuse service if someone's rambunctious or someone's creating a disturbance, or, you know, if there's someone's creating violence, if they're inducing panic, if, you know, it also comes down to certain things. If a person just got out of a manure truck and they're sitting there in a restaurant and just reeks and they have flies flying all around them, you know, I mean, that's another example. So it can be used in certain cases, but just flat out discrimination against someone for being barefoot, the way they dress, the way they look, what they believe in, their orientation, their medical condition, anything like that is illegal. And there are some stipulations in there. And even the ADA's, you know, right on the Department of Justice website, both Title II and Title III address situations where a business can discriminate, well, not discriminate, but request that a patron leave. But there's a very limited list and extreme circumstances where any place of public accommodation has a right to exercise that. And when they do, they better be careful. It better be within the parameters of that law, because anything outside of that, the U.S. Department of Justice takes that very seriously, as well as other local civil rights legislation and in human rights laws that are in place for that particular state. That's a very good point you bring up. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think people probably are still trying to figure out, you know, is it legal for a store to put up a shirt and shoes required sign in their policy or on the door, you know, mostly I keep bringing up Dollar General because they're the main one. You know, people, I think people know that, yeah, it's their business, their company, you know, they could put up whatever policies that they want to. But the main thing I think they probably still want to know, is it legal for any store to put up a shirt and shoes required sign?
Well, those signs, there's been a lot of controversy and a lot of issues with them. Most of the health departments, both state and county level, have gotten on businesses because it misrepresents what the health department is actually regulating. So when it says by order of the health department, that's misrepresentation. So whereas if a business is warned that this is not true and they continue to post such a thing, then they're liable for action against them for misrepresentation. And it also goes along with fraud. See, fraud's not just like passing a bad check or something. It's an intent to defraud, to also misrepresent. Fraud's more of a criminal action, whereas misrepresentation is more civil action. So both, it all depends on the circumstances where action can be taken against a business for signs like that. And the signs, I mean, so many places just have been taking them down. I mean, it costs them more money in fines, in action and all that. Civil litigation and everything
and it's a shame that some places still, it really won't budge, you know, on their policy, you know. So going back to this website, when are you permitted to refuse service? As it's stated, patroon lacks adequate personal hygiene, visibly intoxicated, in reasonably rowdy or causing trouble, or they might overfill venue capacity, there is good reason to believe that a customer will not be a paying customer. The patroon has chosen not to abide by the venue's neutral dress requirements in a manner that is somehow within the patroon's control. The last point is important. That's why, although no shirt, no shoes, no service policies are rarely mandated by law. They are also rarely illegal because they don't discriminate against any particular category of person. Food for thought if you are barefoot inclined in the summer months. Knowing your rights as both a business owner and a patroon is important. Refusal of service laws can cause consternation, whatever that word means, but they are legal except when they're not.
Exactly, except when they're not. And that's the main point that we look at a lot on this show, is it discriminating against someone for any of the reasons that are protected under law? And the other thing is, of course, neutral dress code. Well, you know, not everybody would wear a pair of, we'll say, wingtip oxfords. So it's all subject to someone's interpretation of what a neutral dress code would be. Now, of course, by neutral dress code, they're referring to more of, most clubs will say, like, no bandanas. Nothing that clearly signifies a affiliation with a gang. A neutral dress code meaning like a topless lady cannot sit in the restaurant. See what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. Especially what we were talking about, anything that's offensive or gang related and stuff like that. You know, that part I get, you know. And on the other side of that, you know, what if a guy comes in there just like a woman, a drag queen, you know, will he still get service? I would think so. You know, but if another group of guys is freaking promoting, you know, violence and sex and all this other stuff, then yeah, I think the business is in the right to make that group of people leave the store because they're basically they're making that business look like a what's the word I'm looking for? I want to say making that business kind of look bad.
True, in certain instances. And, you know, there is one of those things where, you know, as far as neutral dress code, like you were talking about a man dressed as a woman or even a woman dressed as a man, I don't think it gets any more neutral than that. But businesses have discriminated against people for that reason. They've been sued and they've lost, you know, because they claim under that particular provision. Now, keep in mind, it's an interpretation of how you use the law. So being able to take the law and interpret it or present a case in court to either defend or prosecute your claims against or whatever the other party, it's all on how you use the law.
Yeah, exactly. And you see, just like we talked about, you know, with that. So it was like, is a person who's walking in the store with no shoes on pose a threat or going to disrupt the business? You know, absolutely not. You know, I saw a post. I don't know if you saw it yet. I saw a post. There's an email from some place called the Food Pantry or whatever. Talk about the no shirt, no shoes policy that they have. They talk about it's a common sign, especially for places that sell food, and they believe it is for, you know, all about safety and hygiene.
And health department and all that, because people are pre-programmed and they constantly have been bombarded with that growing up. So they think that this is true. Kind of goes back to what we were talking about in the beginning of the radio show, where it's just like these fairy tales that they're brought up believing. And these different things that, you know, people are under the impression that, yeah, this is true. And so, you know, because I've heard it all my life, it's the truth, when in reality, it's not.
And an email going to say it's a common sign. Really? Y'all put that sign up because it is a common sign? Y'all believe that it's a common sign? Like no, it's not.
Yeah, because it can't be a common sign, because how many other signs that were done that way exist? I mean, you can Google signs. That doesn't match anything. It's not a common sign. It's something that they made up. So, again, they're always passing the buck onto something else, thinking that we're uneducated or thinking that we're misinformed or thinking that we don't know what we're doing or we don't know what we're talking about. We're not the ignorant ones. But when someone goes that angle and says, oh, well, everybody has this sign, it's a common sign or something like that that we just have to put up. No, you put that sign up. You made that sign. It's not a common sign. I mean, you could Google the image. It doesn't exist anywhere else. It's their specific sign that they made. And they try to insult your intelligence with stuff like that. Because we know it's not a common sign. We know it's BS. You know, they just try to hide behind things, kind of like, you know, in the 60s and 70s, people hid behind the health department myth. And, of course, you say it long enough, people start believing it, and there you go. People are programmed to think that this is the way it is.
Yeah, you know, and I think we talked about before how everybody's still so concerned about safety. You know, because you brought up the putting on a foot flap, which really not to protect your foot. You know, and however, you know, yeah, they could say, okay, we need you to put shoes on for your safety. Okay, so I'll go put on my foot flaps, and some people in their group do have some just in case foot flaps in their car. So you go put it on. You walk into the store, and all of a sudden, some drops on your foot. You know. And it's like, you know, they probably expect you to put on a pair of steel-toed boots or something like that. So it's like, okay, as long as you got something on your feet, they don't specify what you got to have on your feet. As long as you got something on your feet, you'll be fine. Okay, so what if I get hit by some debris? Some flying, the doors open to get a gust of wind and debris just flies and hit me in the head. Or I scrape my hand or something else on my body that gets hurt. You know, y'all said putting on shoes for safety, but I still get hurt by some object or something else. So y'all really didn't cover all y'all bases when y'all talking about safety.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's happening in that case, and this is where business is most likely to be sued and lose, because if they're saying that if you put flip-flops on for safety, something falls on your foot. Well, then you could turn around and say, well, wait a minute. I was supposed to be safe wearing these flip-flops because they said that it would save me. I would be protected. Because then the store at that point is assuming the liability, duty of care, and all that. So no different than if they say, well, you know, I understand your feet hurt. Put your heels back on. And you put your heels back on and you slip and fall. Well, you wouldn't have slipped and fell in the heels if you were just allowed to be in there barefoot. Same thing with a flip-flop. So in other words, if the jar of pickles flies off the shelf or you get attacked by celery and you're not able to run away, then what's going to happen is then because the store put you in danger or warranted that this would protect you and it turns out it does not protect you because you got injured and you did what the store said to do to be protected, and you weren't, that store is liable for all damages.
You know, I think I see on another side what you're saying. It's like, even if I went to my car and I put on, let's say, a pair of sneakers, okay, I go into the store, and all of a sudden something happens, and I fall, and I twist my knee. You know, and y'all say, well, hey, told me to put on shoes for my safety and protection, but I fell, you know, in your store and I twisted my knee. So
yeah.
So basically,
so where was the protection that they said that this would give you? And that's a very good point you make. I mean, you know, the store will sit there all day and say, oh, for your protection, and then you get hurt. But anyway, we have more callers on the line that we're going to get to right after this break. We're coming up to the bottom of the hour in the last half hour that we have together this week. So stay tuned. 319-527-6208 is a way to be a part of the show. We'll be right back.
Hey, FreedomS, join me, Proof Negative. Weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together, right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Are you barefooters out there looking for a new place to shop, eat, and save? Are you sick of paying full price? Would you like to save money at the places you enjoy most? Well, here's a popular savings book that is full of coupons catered to your local area. It's called Save Around. This book is full of exclusive discounts to help you save money around your town. Yes, that's Save Around. You will save money at restaurants, department stores, cars, even flowers. When I take my family out, there are seven of us. The average meal was about $110 to $140. Last time I took them out, and I'm holding a copy of the receipt right here, the check originally was $120. With the Save Around book, our meal cost $82 at a place we go to quite often. Who knew? And there are a few places we found that we are going to check out. View the books in your area before you buy. Go to freedomizerradio.com or barefootislegal.org. Just click on your city, and within a few days, you will be saving money around town with your new Save Around book.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait, there's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
In an ever-changing world of political mayhem, raging storms, natural disasters, and growing global discontent, you want to get the real facts on how to prepare for as many situations as possible. Hi, I'm Rich Fleetwood, founder and executive director of SurvivalRing.org, one of the largest and oldest survival and preparedness websites in the world. At SurvivalRing.org, you'll find thousands of free downloads on every prepper topic known to man and many most haven't thought of. From first aid to storm and fallout shelter plans to alternative technology for when civilization seems to want to fade away, you'll find over 25,000 unique titles available for connecting the dots and preparing for anything. We have survival history, preparedness science, community safety, authentic field training and real-world experience, and more facts than you can shake a lit road flare at, especially for those dark and stormy nights. Come and see what we have, ask questions, and let me find solutions to your current worries. SurvivalRing.org, where our motto is study yesterday, prepare today, live tomorrow. Survival is a lifestyle, but you have to live it to make it. We can help you and your family exclusively at SurvivalRing.org, online since 1997.
Got a spare tire around that waist? Is your muffin top over the top? Do you binge eat uncontrollably? We are the government and we are here to help you. Here at our free FEMA weight loss camp, we have numerous ways to help you shed those unsightly, unwanted pounds. FEMA or Fatties, Eating Mitigated, automatically has a communist-style weight loss czar that specializes in centralized weight loss planning and communal extended fasting programs to shed that fat away in no time. Skin and boned means extra toned is the motto. Just remember, there is no way you can do it on your own. We will forcefully assist you into compliance. Failure is not an option in this utopian wonderland. How fantastic! Typical workout regimes include digging ditches and restocking them with dirt, building railways and more. Get life skills while you get lean. How do you join? Simple. recite the Constitution in a public commons, or violate the Patriot Act that includes simple misdemeanors. It's really that easy to get your own fenced-in slice of Americana. Stop being a fatty. The state is your daddy.
The views and opinions expressed during the BIL radio show are those of the host and not that of Freedomizer Radio or the broadcast affiliates.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your rights. Get up.
Three 1 9 5 2 7 6 2 0 8 is a way to be a part of the show. Again, that's 319-527-6208. You're listening to the Barefoot is Legal radio show, and I'm your host, Nick Pearson. Coming up to the final half hour, make sure to check out our website. That's barefootislegal.org and our Facebook group, private group. If you're a barefooter and want to join the barefoot lifestyle, make sure to check it out. There's a lot of helpful information, a lot of great group, a lot of people in the group. We offer a lot of support, great legal advice, so make sure you check that out. Of course, it's not a fetish community, though, folks. This is not a place for you heavy-breathing fun seekers to get your rocks off on the foot pictures. It's a place to dispel and empower you to live a barefoot lifestyle. Before the break, we were talking to Kevin, and he had a lot of great insight as far as different laws and stuff with refusal of service. And before we run out of time, I'd also like to invite Laura onto the radio with us. And Laura, welcome back to the program. Frequent listener, often calls, and Kevin is with us as well. So I'm just bringing all two of you on the air together because we always have such great conversations. Welcome to the Barefoot Legal show.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Nick. Back to the common signs. The problem is these businesses have no common sense. And I have to, if I may, compliment a Meijer store, a local store here at home, where just the other day, yesterday, I was in the store, and a little boy, cutest little kid in the whole world, I mean, he pulled down a jar of the ugliest purple stuff inside, shattered it all over the floor. Now, in an instant, I mean, I barely was able to blink. I happened to be right behind his mother. All of a sudden, some clerk that works at the store ran out with one of those buckets on wheels with a mop, threw down these like iridescent, like those bright, put them under a black light, neon cones, and simply said to people, just step aside. Now, it wouldn't have mattered who had on what. Somebody would have gotten a stain if they were close. Somebody, it doesn't matter. But the thing is now, common sense. It's not, you know, oh, well, you know, it's a common sign, you can't be barefoot. This purple goo would have stained your feet, and there's glass that would have, you know, cut you. But would they have then said, if they were that, you know, what we have a sign kind of people, would they have said, well, wait a minute here, no little boys are allowed to come into the store because they could potentially pull down jars of purple cloth and break them? So that, you know, the likelihood of that happening, and I've shopped in that store for 10 years, it's never happened before. It probably will not happen for 10 years. It's common sense. You don't bar a lady with a little boy from coming into the store saying, well, what if he knocks something over? Because it's dumb. I mean,
yeah.
And
right.
In no time, it was cleaned up. And the store, it has immaculate floors. I mean, if a business maintains its building and its sales space, the whole idea of, well, just in case there's broken glass on the floor, there's no broken glass on the floor. They're not in the business of selling broken glass carpeting. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, it's like businesses freak out over the smallest things, but like, I mean, that's great. You know, a business, you know, reacted, they took care of it, they cleaned it up. That's what they're supposed to
mm-hmm.
do. But, you know, to say then that, you know, little children can't be in a store because of purple goo in jars, because, I mean, that poses a real danger, you know, where someone walking around doesn't, you know. And also, also the mentality of someone who's barefoot. I mean, you know, they're very careful about where they walk. They're very careful about what they do. They're more aware of their surroundings. So an accident like that probably wouldn't have happened with someone who's barefoot. I mean, of course, accidents happen. I mean, the whole ceiling could cave in. But, you know, it's not – a shoe's not going to save you. And someone who's barefoot would have saw what was going on, walked around it, or avoided that aisle for the moment until everything was cleaned up and did the rest of their shopping. That's a very good point.
Right.
Because,
and then they could have gone back to the aisle if they wanted a jar of purple goo. You know, I mean –
And
it,
honestly,
it
even
was,
if something did fall on someone – the shoe would not have protected them in that case.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, okay,
not.
The little boy pulled a jar of something off a shelf. What if it fell on a midget's head? The midget shoe would not have protected the little cabbage thing on top. Okay? So, I mean, when you look at it that way, I mean, there's no hard hats. There's no steel-toe shoes that are really going to prevent all injury in a case like that. And the store really just did what they had to do. They cleaned it up. They exhibited a duty of care.
They
mopped it up, they cleaned it up, swept it up, vacuumed it up, whatever they did, and, you know, and the little human was safe, and everybody was okay. And
and
no one died, everybody managed to, and that's all they had to do. So someone did walk down that aisle, and if they were barefoot and did cut their foot, first of all, no one who's barefoot would sue us for normally barefoot, because we want our rights to be barefoot. That's not the point.
Right.
But even if they did get hurt, the business can say, well, there are other witnesses there. We put the cones up. We cleaned it up. They did everything they could to eliminate any danger to any other shopper.
I need to point out, it is a very big store. There were a lot of customers, but they are staffed so that there is enough help in each department. So if anybody out there is thinking, well, if it was a little mom-and-pop store, you know, mama got the mop. No, I mean, it's a big corporate store. And they handled it efficiently. And my father has an expression, swiftly and efficiently.
There you go. And that's exactly what happened. And, you know, that's a great story. Thank you very much for calling in. We have a couple other callers we want to get to, including our very own head of corporate communications, our very own Nick Deutschman. So, Nick, welcome to the BIL show. Welcome back.
Oh, glad to be back, as always.
So what do you got going on?
Well, you know what I did today?
Went outside.
I went for a drive. I needed some gas, and I stopped at this gas station and pressed the paid inside button. Really large sign on the front of this gas station that said, no shirt, no shoes, no service. You know what I did?
They already served you.
I had to pay, and I got an iced tea, and nobody said a thing. And I drove home with my iced tea. Imagine that.
Wow. Managed to escape unscathed. You know,
that's a funny thing.
You know, for some of our new barefooters, you know, you brought up a very good thing right there. Go to the gas pump, get your gas, and just walk inside to get your receipt. Just say, it didn't print. It didn't print. They have to give you the receipt. By law, they have to, if you ask
them.
They
really do. Yeah, it's best. I like it more when you have to give them money, especially if it's cash. I'm giving you cash. I'm going inside.
Oh, of course.
No argument there. You're going to have to take the money, dude.
Yep.
How have you been?
Pretty good. How about you?
Good.
So we've been very busy.
Beautiful day in Minneapolis today.
I'm sure.
I'm a little scared. I'm a little scared to go. I'm a little scared to go for a hike today, but. What the hell with you guys?
Hey, we're just chugging along here, coming up to the last 15 minutes of the show. Just wanted to
get
you on, the kind of updates we got going on with the group and what else is going on with the, I don't know, membership, events, challenges, any updates on different businesses?
Yeah, I got all kinds of stuff. There's been a little bit of chatter about a Comic-Con in Chicago we might get a booth at. Farmers markets are kicking up everywhere. If there's like, what do we have now, about like 5,000 or 6,000 listeners to our show at least?
Oh, if that,
two maybe, I don't know.
Split up with hundreds, and I can barely get through them all each break.
Oh man,
so.
Farmers markets. Who wants to go hang out at a farmers market barefoot? And
why not?
get some popcorn and say, hey, you should take those shoes off. It feels better. What else we got going on? Tuesday, Alexis Gomez. I'm going to check out one of her concerts. Tyler Leach from the Barefoot Autism Challenge.
Oh, great.
Yep.
Nice little birthday outing at her concert.
We're looking for gifts for Ms. Gomez.
Okay. Great. Yeah, she's actually going to be on the show one of these weekends with us when she frees up her schedule, so she'll be a guest of ours eventually.
Yeah. Well, I'll make sure to remind her. Don't miss out on talking to Nick Pierce. This guy's awesome.
Definitely. Let her know. Sooner the better. Get her on the air. So before the break, before the last break, Kevin was on with us for a while, and we were talking about his challenge as far as doing the Facebook Live Barefoot Adventures challenge, where you just post a short little video. And it's funny, I mean, a lot of us in the group, we do that quite often. And I know that you and Kevin both are avid posters of almost everything you do, taking pictures and all that.
Pretty much,
and, I think this would be a great opportunity for some of the members of the group to get out there and do some of it as well. And,
have a little fun with it.
10,000 members? Over 10,000, last I looked.
Yeah, it's like 10,000 plus. Very exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I thought at one time it was just Dave and I, but hey.
All of a sudden, the past year, I got to tell you, from the time I joined last spring, and I'm probably like almost a year old in the group, and it's amazing how membership has grown from like a couple thousand, I think, when I joined, to like literally double, like almost triple that. And the growth that the group has is great. And what's funny is like, you know, what we need to do now is get all 10,000 people. Like if someone posts something in the group to say, oh, this place gave me an issue, what they need to do is, and then we need 10,000 members to go after that place, you know, convey our disgust with them and their policy, because this is going to happen in numbers, not just with one or two people going to their Facebook page and saying, oh, you don't like customers, I'm never shopping in your establishment or something like that. This has to be like where now we have 10,000 members. All 10,000 members need to get on the front lines. And I mean, it's such a simple thing to do, is just maybe take 30 seconds to say, this is not right and I'm never shopping with you. That happens 10,000 times. Businesses are going to start listening.
Well, we can't say again, too, you know, how much internet chatter is there about all these businesses that are having trouble and closing stores. And right here in my city, Gander Mountain, stores everywhere. Oh, got to close them.
Gander Mountain?
What?
Wow.
Gander Mountain.
Gander Mountain.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
They just opened up recently, maybe, I'm going to say, 8 years ago in my neck of the woods. I love the place. I like it. I go there quite often.
The place is awesome. Yeah. If you're hunting goods and whatnot, and yeah.
I mean, I also go to this little mom and pop for a lot of ammo. They have great deals on that. But yeah, Gander Mountain, it's ammo-wise, it's okay, but they have a lot of stuff.
They just got a lot of stuff in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't say I've ever been barefoot in one, though. Maybe. I'm going to go. My guesses are yes.
I'm surprised you're barefoot everywhere.
Everywhere. I just depends on if I ever needed anything from Gander Mountain. Fleet Farm, Mills Fleet Farm. You got any of those in Ohio?
We do not have a Mills, though. No, we don't.
No Mills Fleet Farm? All right.
No.
Yeah.
Online, I've ordered a couple things from them. There's some great prices and stuff. But I wish they had one around here.
Yeah, no, that's a nice place. Barefoot all the time. No one's got a word. I can't even think of anyone that's looked cross-eyed at me. That's the weird part.
Yeah.
You go into some places and you can just catch them. You can catch them out of the corner of your eye looking at you. They got their eye, like they're giving you that eye. Ew, that guy's barefoot. What's going on?
Yeah.
I smile.
You know, with those outdoor shops, it's I like them. I mean, I go there quite often. Mostly for firearms and stuff and ammo and stuff, I'll go to a place called Old English Outfitters in Tip City.
Old English.
And, yeah, it's a little mom-and-pop shop. Great staff there. I'm giving them a little plug on the air. They're just great guys up there. Really know their stuff. And I like places like that better than the big-box retailers anyway. I mean, you know,
sure,
of course they specialize in guns and ammo. You know, they have an archery section and all that. You're not going to go there and buy tents and sleeping bags. But there's plenty of places to buy that stuff. But no, really great, very knowledgeable, Old English Outfitters. And so I just better throw that out there on the air. Why not? I told them next time.
Are people still hoarding 22 rounds?
I am.
You are? All right.
I am.
I should probably start. I keep talking to people. It's, oh, you got any 22 shells? Get some more. All right.
Yeah, I mean it's a common caliber. They're not as common as like a 12 gauge shotgun or something like that, or like a 9 or a 45. But anytime I'm up there, I'll buy like a couple boxes of 9, and then some 22, just because it's like pretty much like comes out to what the tax comes out to on the regular ammo. I mean, if you spend like 80-100 bucks in ammo or something that week, and then you're just like, I get 50 rounds of 22. It's like $5, $6. it's cheap. For 100 rounds, that price.
You ever been out shooting and the shell casing comes out and gets you and burns on the top of your foot?
It actually happens. It's funny when I do go to the range. They always walk around with those squeegee mops and brooms and stuff to make sure all the shell casings are always, away from my feet. I mean, they do a good job at the range that I go to. They normally don't. If they do, they probably hit the top of my foot and bounce back onto the floor. I mean, it's
really wouldn't even feel it.
After a while, I'm just like, okay, guys, it's okay. I'm okay. It took maybe two or three visits to the range where I start going now, where I go now, for them to realize I'm okay. It's fine. You don't have to worry about it. Everything's going to be okay. sometimes I'll always get one of those shells that just kind of comes out one way, and it just wedges right in between my eyebrow and the goggles, the safety glasses. It just gets stuck there, and you're just like, man, I've burned my eyebrows off. I don't know how many times on that one. Maybe three or four times. That's a pain. You're just like, oh, come on, really? They got a kick. I got an 18-inch Mossberg about a year ago, and I just really wanted to bring it and just fire it off, So I walk into the range, like, you can only shoot slugs out of that. So I went downstairs, bought a bunch of slugs and everything. And I was good. 5 rounds later, my shoulder was just fine. And I went back to, my different pistols and stuff that I normally fire when I'm there for practice. And, targets make great home defense decals. Like if you ever get an alarm system, they say protected by ADT, just hang one of your silhouette targets or something on your windows or the front door. That's all you need. Come back from the range, tape it up.
Nice little pattern there right above the nose. Wow, this guy's a good shot.
Exactly.
Mark at 25 yards.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'll exaggerate on my targets, though. When it goes to window decal status, I'm like, wow, that was a good day. Pop off 300 rounds. And it's just like, yep, that's just what I do in about an hour, half hour, 300 rounds. Can you imagine what I do to even 5 minutes breaking into my house? And I'll mark that thing like, 30 yards.
Funny. Well, so you may have heard yesterday I run into some creepy guy out on one of my barefoot hikes.
A creepy guy? No, I have not heard this story.
You didn't read that? Oh, my goodness. Everybody loves to go out. For the barefooters out there, go for a walk in the park, find a trail somewhere, leave your shoes at home. Your feet are going to get dirty. You're going to love it. Find some water, wash them up before you go home in your car or whatever, I like doing that a lot myself. Went for a walk yesterday. Trails are supposedly closed. I've seen that before, but this time it's flooded out, so you can't get through. It's still full of water, right?
Yeah.
So I went around a little off trail in the first patch of water, and then I was able to walk for another mile or so, had a bunch of fun. Another area flooding, so I had to turn back, right? I turn back and I take a different way off trail to go past the flooding area. And when I meet up with the main trail, there's this dude standing there. I'm like, all right, whatever. There's a guy standing there. And then I start noticing that he doesn't look like he belongs there. Whatever. There's lots of people that'll stop at this parking area and like have lunch and then go somewhere else, Whatever they're doing, that's what they're doing. Stop, take a phone call, and then drive away. Whatever. This guy might have just been going for a walk. And
have a sandwich in the woods or something. squirrels.
Who knows? Yeah, I mean, it's all good, whatever. So he's like, oh, hello. And I'm like, hey, what's up? You know, he's like, and then right there, his next response, it was like, man, this is kind of weird. What's up with this guy? He's nicely dressed. He's clean, you know, speaks well good English, and doesn't look like drunk or nothing. And then I was kind of in, I got to go home mode because I kind of had to go home. And we kind of made some chit-chat up the trail, and it was just off. It was weird. The questions were, what? This is, it wasn't lining up. You know what I mean? You know how you ever gotten in? See, the problem is that
weird, creepy
feeling. Weird,
weird
creepy feeling, man. Yeah, it ain't working. So, like, I don't want him up by my car just yet. So I stop, and I was looking at this guy. He was fishing with his kid, had a hammock there. I'm like, oh, cool, check that out. He's, like, looking at it, you know, but he's still really interested in me. And he's like, he asks me, he says. He says, so what you going to do? And I look at him, and I said, I'm going home. I got, you know, daddy duties and whatever and work tonight. And he's like, he looks at me, he's like, nah, man, let's go back down the trail. No. No.
Okay.
No. I'm out. Okay.
So but does he know
I go
he's
walking
like
in the car? I got another few hundred yards to go yet. What's that?
Does he know he's talking to an umpteenth degree black belt? You know.
He might because see, I had one of my old karate school T-shirts on. Okay. So, but it was still wasn't enough for him not to follow me all the way back to my car. So the closer I'm getting to my car and the chit chatter is still really weird. I'm just trying to ignore the guy and get in my car and leave.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. 20 feet from the car, I'm like, all right, dude, if it's going down, you're probably going to do it here. You know?
Yeah.
Boom. This other car pulls in. Dad and his kids start unloading fishing gear. And he just kind of saunters over to his truck and mills around with the door open and watches me leave. Okay. Creepy guy in the woods.
Creepy. Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But, no, that's the thing. I mean, isn't that something? You know, I'm a third-degree black belt, and, you know, it would have been 7 seconds, man, and I'd have put that guy in the hospital.
Yeah, he wouldn't have had a good day. But
yeah,
you know,
but
hey,
you know what? Just get in the car and leave. Whatever.
Yeah.
He let me, so that's good.
At least he wasn't sitting there with a camera taking pictures of your feet like some crazy foot fetish person. But, that's crazy. But we're out of time for this week. Definitely. Thanks for tuning in. Nick, sorry I got to cut you off, but we're coming up to the top of the hour. Stay tuned for Truth Quest Radio is coming up right now, so stay tuned. Until next week, check out barefootislegal.org. I'm your host, Nick Pierce. Thanks for listening to the Barefoot is Legal Radio Show.